The what?
It's one of...
It's a classic art gallery. One of the best in the world. Architect named Frank Lloyd Wright designed it. It's like being inside the shell of a great snail. I saw a wonderful exhibition of Georgia O'Keeffe. Let's go and look at it.
Ryan glanced at the sky. It was darkening from the northwest, with the promise of more rain, though the falling temperatures threatened snow. Could we hole up there for the night, Dredd?
I don't know. Well, yeah, sure. Why not? Yeah.
The buildings around the Guggenheim were totally wrecked. Nothing stood more than a single story. But the stained white concrete museum was remarkably untouched. Ryan guessed that its peculiar shape and structure must have protected it from the blast that had demolished everything around it.
Anything worthwhile inside?
Used to be some of the finest pictures the world ever saw. Renoir, Picasso, Mondrian, Klee, Van Gogh. Names go on forever, Ryan.
I fear that little will remain of that collection now.
Sadly, Doc was right. The outer doors and windows were smashed, and the lobby was filled with piles of rotting leaves. The air smelled cold and damp, unused. It was very much like the smell they'd encountered in many of the hidden redoubts they'd entered. Ryan glanced across at Christy.
Anything?
No. Feels like nobody's been in here for 100 years.
Doc had wandered across the floor and was looking up at the enormous winding ramp that went clear to the roof.
Suppose there's nothing here for anyone. It's so damnably cold in here, and there's nothing to burn for a fire.
Typically, J.B. saw the situation from his own personal vantage point.
More than that, Doc. The way it's built, there's no way of defending it. You get trapped up that ramp and you're dead meat. No way of establishing crossfire or any defensive positions.
I'm sure you're correct, my dear fellow. If I had access to a temporal transporter, I would hasten back and ask Mr. Lloyd Wright to redesign it so that it could be defended in the event of a firefight. I'm sure he'd be most happy to oblige.
Oh, fuck you, old man.
Enough. You gonna stay here for the night?
Not much heat here. Some of those leaves over there might burn.
Behind what had once been some sort of sales section, J.B. had rummaged out a pile of white plastic strips.
These'll go. Keep away from the fumes and they'll do. Them and some of the leaves, once they dry out.
Hey, why don't me and Rita go hunt the park for some branches and stuff? This far south, there aren't many gangs, so there could be some. What do you say, Ryan?
Sure. Good as anywhere. We got enough to keep a watch. Solid roof, that's worth something. But don't take long.
Can we borrow your blasters?
Nobody ever borrows anyone's blaster. Never.
Before full dark came, Doc and Mildred climbed up the winding circular ramp clear to the top of the building. They finally reached the shadowed top level, with the floor sweeping gently away from them, around and around and down toward the lobby.
What is so risible, my dear doctor?
Well, I just had a thought.
I'm all attention and quivering eagerness, madam. Tell me.
Just looking around here, masses of rubbish and dead leaves and rags and all kinds of windblown and human shit. If this was a book or a movie... Well, we dig around and find a buried masterpiece by Van Gogh or someone.
Yes, yes. And we would look at it, and then one of us would say that we wondered what the old picture was. But it would...
Sure burn well.
Private joke?
Hi, J.B.
John Barrymore. No, the joke is not private. But it would take a frightfully long time to try to explain it.
Well, the fire's going well down there, and there's some food ready.
I think my belly and backbone are getting used to being stuck together. I shall go and force down a little something. What do you say to a little something, Mildred?
I probably say, hello, little something. Sorry. Wasn't that good a joke 100 years ago, and it hasn't improved with age.
You going down?
Not yet. But you go ahead, Doc, and if you find any Renoirs, put them on the fire.
They watched the old man pick his careful way down and out of sight. J.B. moved a few steps to stand by the window, looking down across Fifth Avenue.
Cold night.
It is.
Mildred joined him, standing so close that their bodies brushed together. They stared as the wind outside whipped the lessening fog along the street, revealing an expansive lake in front of them.
JB.
She grabbed his arm.
I see it.
The Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis Reservoir had lost water over the many years, but was still expansive. With the fog enshrouding the horizon, it filled the window with a pale Arctic blue. There was a thin sheen of ice across the surface, cracked in places where children had thrown rocks. A large pigeon slowly, ever so gently, landed on the edge of the reservoir and began to hunt for food.
I came here once. I walked around Manhattan with my friends. We ate hot dogs and pretzels and spent most of the day just walking around Central Park. Not a care in the world. Just walking and laughing. And there were runners and bikers and horses and...
Things change, Millie.
Why did this happen?
Mildred ducked her head towards JB's chest, her hands gripping his coat with all their strength. JB held his arms out, debating where they should go. Eventually, he gripped Mildred in an awkward hug and slowly sat down with her, her tears leaving damp spots on his jacket. They sat there for a while, with Mildred sobbing softly into JB's shirt, and JB gently running his hand down Mildred's plaits.
John.
Yes, Millie?
She looked up into JB's eyes and kissed him softly on the lips. She then looked past his shoulder across the landing at what had been some kind of administrative suite. There were a couple of seat cushions in the dark room.
We should lie down for a few minutes.
We could.
And you could make love to me.
I could.
Would you like that?
I would.
Ryan picked his teeth, locating bits of grainy bread and sucking at his long fingers. Christy was stretched out on the floor in front of him, the firelight playing off the planes of her face and the tumbled curtain of her dazzling hair. Dredd was sitting on the edge of his seat, his foot bouncing with nervous energy.
Think they're okay up there?
I think they're both doing just fine up there, lover.
Wait, what's that supposed to mean? You don't think they're... Not Mildred and... Not J.B. Dix.
You hear that? I'll cover it.
Oh, relax, Dredd.
JB and Mildred walked into the pool of warm light cast by the dancing flames of the fire. They were standing close together, then glanced at each other and took an uncomfortable step away.
It's better in here. Too dark upstairs. Nowhere to hide.
Yeah. Safer in here.
Yeah, it sure is brighter down here.
Ryan.
Sure. Here, Mildred, have some food.
Time for some sleep. Retha's crashed already.
Retha was curled up in a fetal position, sucking at her thumb.
Right, have to take a watch. Only one entrance, isn't there?
No, there's a sort of rear exit through that door. Leads into a kind of alley, mostly blocked. But someone could get in if they tried hard.
Right. But there's still cover from the bottom of the ramp. Best bet is we all sleep one level up. Guard stays in the main lobby area.
Better do it in pairs, in case anyone drops off.
You're on first watch, and you don't fall asleep.
Yeah, you wouldn't and I wouldn't, but...
JB jerked a thumb at the others. Mildred's head was nodding, and Doc's eyes were already closed. Christy was still wide awake, and Dredd was watching from the corner where Retha was fast asleep.
All right. Just you and me do it on our own. The rest will pair up to spread the load.
Sure.
Part of the passage that spiraled around the shell-like interior of the Guggenheim still retained patches of carpet, making it possible to move around in almost total silence. Doc had been roused enough to take the first watch, and Ryan took over from him. Dredd and Retha were to go next, followed by Christy and Mildred, with JB taking the last round until dawn. Now everyone was sleeping as Ryan picked his way cautiously around the abandoned museum. The G-12 was down by his sleeping place, and he had the 6-hour P-226 in its holster. There were times when you felt the spice of danger, and times you didn't. The Guggenheim had such an atmosphere of long abandonment that there didn't seem any serious risk. He walked clear to the top. There were high clouds racing across the face of a bright moon. Its light came through the broken windows and splashed.